You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mades from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blogging community on the web, and you can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Put a video up on YouTube, like an X's and O's breakdown, kind of a new thing I'm going to be doing, so you should check that out. If you enjoy the show, you enjoy sort of the video film study about the game of basketball, you want to check out that video there, so there's a quick little plug. Also want to tell you about our event. It sucks that we're having this event, our Hope Kids annual charity event. That we're promoting it. We chose to promote it right now when fan enthusiasm is at a sort of an all-time low. But, you know, forget about that, because this is, there's some things that are bigger than basketball. And, you know, honestly, community is bigger than basketball. I mean, just part of why I love being a part of Denver Stiffs and getting to be a fan along with you guys is for the community aspect of that. And part of community, at least in my mind, is charity work and this cool event that we have with Hope Kids, a local nonprofit that works with kids who have cancer and other life-threatening illnesses. We raise tickets every year to send a bunch of kids to a Denver Nuggets game. This year, the game's on January 5th. It's going to be Super Mascot Rocky's birthday. You can donate $10. You go to DenverStiffs.com, click on the article, you'll see a donate page. Every $10 you donate sends one kid to this event. Well, they get to watch the Nuggets, make a tunnel for the players to run out of, and meet Super Mascot Rocky, and then also meet each other. It's a social event for kids who are going through similar, you know, sort of life or death battles to meet other kids that are going through similar things. So go on our website. Like I said, I know fan enthusiasm's a little low right now, but still, do the right thing. Go to our go to DenverStiffs.com. Donate what you can. If you've got a company that wants to donate, use your company. It becomes a tax write-off. It's a great opportunity to really send some positiveness to the world. And I think that's an important thing to do. So I can't wait to promote that when everybody's happy. I don't like promoting that when everybody's sad. We do have a new Jamal Murray t-shirt as well. People, you know, again, don't want to promote it too hard, but proceeds of the sale of that t-shirt go to our event as well. So that's another way to donate. And then we'll have a cool new pair of socks. You remember last year we had the Rainbow Skylines? Tomorrow we'll be debuting the new Mile High ones. Be on the lookout for that. Again, all proceeds go to our event. Go to Hope Kids Colorado. This episode of the show is going to be on the loss to the Milwaukee Bucks. And I'll tell you what. The loss sucked. There's no sugarcoating this. This was not a bad loss. This is a painful one because of the circumstance, because of where Denver is and how badly they need to sort of just feel good about themselves again. But there was, especially on rewatch, especially I just finished watching it the second time and, you know, adding to my notes. And there was a lot of positive stuff in this one. There's some negatives. There's some concerning, like all that stuff. But, you know, Denver, everybody wanted this game. They played hard. They played like they wanted it. They played confident, aggressive for the most part. I mean, down the stretch we're going to talk about. But, you know, there's a lot of positives in here. Milwaukee might be the best team in the NBA. 12-4. They're very good. Best record in the NBA. I guess second best behind Toronto at the moment. They're just a heck of a team, and it was on their home court. So this was a game you expect Denver to lose. And they battled. They really, really battled. And I think what hurts for Nuggets fans is both the streak, the fact that they have now lost 5 of 6, and then also it just felt like this was a game that they could have won, but it got away. So let's dive into the notes. My first note is that Michael Malone's demeanor, he has been almost eerily calm over this entire losing streak. And I'm like 100% in on this theory now about Malone being extra conscious about his sort of his nonverbals, his stress level, how much he shows his stress level, because I think the team feeds off of it. We talked about this a lot last year. And I think Malone, knowing that the team is going through some stuff, you know, guys like Jokic and Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, all sort of dealing with different things and different stress levels. And I think Malone is trying so hard to be a positive voice. And I, you know, you got to tip your hat to him, because I really think that that's a hard thing for him to do. For some people, it's easy. You know, everybody's personality is different. I think for Malone, it's very difficult for him to sort of try to stay calm and exude confidence when the team just can't seem to get a bounce to go their way. Jamal Murray, I said everybody was trying hard. I think Jamal Murray was especially focused in this game to both be aggressive and assertive, but also just to do the right thing. I'll tell you this. I think Jamal Murray, I don't think you question his love of the game and his like desire to be great at it. He wants to be great at this, and he's in a rough patch right now. He had a decent, I mean, a pretty solid stat line if you look at it here. He had 17 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, 7 of 14 shooting, 2 of 5 from the three-point line. So a lot of good stuff there. 5 turnovers, and they were of the loud variety in really tough spots. And when I say loud, what I mean is they really stood out, and they stood out for bad reasons. We'll get to those later. But just in terms of like how badly he wants to sort of get over the hump, you can see it in games like tonight where he just had a little extra effort. For the most part, he still got blown by and stuff on defense, but just his effort to do the right thing, I thought, was there, and he came out and had a nice start to the game. The Nuggets, they had a good rhythm going early on, not a great rhythm. Like I said, they were more trying to do the right thing than actually doing the right thing. And it was when Monte Morris checked in that Denver had a couple of really great possessions. Now, I don't know that it was anything specific that Monte Morris did. So sometimes these things, correlation does not equal causation, and this might be one of the ones. But when Monte did come in at that break, that 6-minute mark or 7-minute mark, the Nuggets offense really got into a nice flow, and guys really just started to, you know, the offense really started to open up, and Denver made a run. Denver punched them in the mouth in that first quarter. First with the starting unit, then with Monte Morris in the starting unit, and then when the bench came in, that second unit really brought the energy, and they just, it was a sledgehammer. Denver had sort of chipped away at Milwaukee and built, I think, like a 5 or 6 point lead. That second unit came in and just absolutely dominated with beautiful basketball. I've said this before, that second unit plays quote-unquote Jokic ball as good as the first, if not better, on some nights, and this was one of those nights where that end of first quarter stretch and start of the second quarter, especially the start of the second quarter, was just absolutely beautiful. It was the lineup, and I really like this one. It's the all second unit plus Gary Harris lineup, and that lineup came in, and I just thought really elevated. Got up to 17 point lead, and it was behind just some great passing, cutting. I will say this, Denver's offense has looked as good as it has at any point this season for at least moments in each of the last 4 or 5 games. The Atlanta game from a majority of it, but again, that's Atlanta's defense. But you're talking about New Orleans, a good defensive team. Denver came out and dropped 35 points in the first quarter, largely off of a ton of assists and just good ball movement, good player movement, good execution, protecting the ball. Milwaukee, this game, I thought the same thing. So there have been flashes that Denver, there's a lot of signs that Denver is actually better than what they have shown over this last 6-game stretch, even though the results haven't really rewarded them quite yet. Excited. I was just thinking about this. Zion Williamson is probably my favorite basketball player that I don't think about, you know, in an analytical way. I just watch him. Because he's so different that I just almost enjoy not thinking about what is he. Is he going to be successful at the next level? Can he help his team? Just kind of like enjoy him. And I bring that up as a long way of sort of introducing our sponsor, because tomorrow, the Maui Invitational, just like today, I get daytime basketball, and I'm excited about that. And, you know, maybe even going to lay a wager down. And people always ask me, where do I lay my wagers down? And of course, I go with people who sponsor my show, and that is my bookie. That's what I'm betting on this week, college basketball. And I have no idea who's going to win, but I do know my bookie is a great place for you to bet, because they pay you out. A lot of these online sites, you don't know if you'll get paid or when you'll get paid or how they'll pay you or what kind of funny business. My bookie, you know that you're going to get it. Who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. So they've been in business for years. They've got great reviews online. Their mobile site's easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. I only recommend services that I've used personally, and I have used MyBookie. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They've got in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. For you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. You can gamble on anything these days. It's amazing. So join MyBookie. You can use a promo code. If you're a first-time user, use promo code LOCKEDON, just like the show, LOCKEDON, to activate an offer. And that's MyBookie. Don't forget to use the promo code. You play, you win, and you get paid. thought Jokic's defense in the second quarter was really, really good. It was good really for most of the game, some highlight plays, but in that second quarter in particular, I thought he was phenomenal and the team was phenomenal. I thought that second unit just elevated everybody to start the second quarter. So even when the starters came back in, there was just a different sense of urgency, I thought. But coincidentally, on the other end, he missed a couple bunnies and just shots that he normally makes. He too, I think, you know, it wasn't that he had a bad stat line or anything like that, but he just missed so many shots that I think you look at and go, man, he makes those all the time. How did he miss that one? Finished 8 of 18, 20 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He too had 3 turnovers. 8 of his shots, by the way, 8 of his 18 three-pointers, which I think is – that always tells you something when he's up to that many three-pointers. But he missed some bunnies. Jokic did hit a 3 right before the end of the half, but then Brook Lopez came down and hit another 3. So Denver went from up 13 feeling great about themselves to having the Bucks hit a buzzer beater on them. That always, you know, anytime, even when you're up even when you're up 10 going into the half and you had a great quarter, when somebody hits a 3 at the buzzer as the buzzer goes off, that's always a bad feeling. And that's what happened in this one. So it kind of took a little bit of the wind out of the sail going into the break. But Denver had 19 assists in the first half. This is the team playing great. That is them at their best when the ball is moving like that and guys are just finding each other. 19 assists in one half is just phenomenal. That tells you that to me, I look at these signs and I think, okay, this is important. I know, you know, a feel good win is way better than a feel good loss. I mean, this still kind of feels like a punch to the gut, but at least I can look at it and say, you know, it's not like they're getting blown out by bad teams or, you know, they look horrible for 48 minutes. There were some mental errors that really cost them, but 30 assists total, 19 in that first half, I thought was good. In the third quarter, things kind of started to unravel for a little there. They played them tight right out of the gate in the third, but as the minutes wore on, it started, you know, 3-4 minutes into the quarters when things started to unravel. Michael Malone got another tech, his third tech of the season, his second in a row. And this is where I talk about, you know, he runs hot. He is an emotional guy, and his natural, I think, default position is sort of to wear those emotions on his sleeve. And even when he got his tech, you know, he almost looked embarrassed by it, and it wasn't like he was trying to rally the team and get a tech. So I think he's just so aware of his emotions and his demeanor at the moment, and that was a moment there that cost Denver a little bit. When Milwaukee made their third quarter run and started to make their third quarter run, I thought Denver's offense got nervous. And here's where Denver's identity is such here's where Denver's in an interesting spot. You know, Matt Moore, my friend and colleague, we just see this Nuggets team so differently. We couldn't possibly see them any more differently. One of the problems, though, that this Nuggets team has is when they lose momentum in a game, this free-flowing, you know, fun, high-octane offense, you know, everybody, it's almost like they stop wanting to do that. And this is where, you know, sometimes you need a guy that's willing to kind of or really understands the moment that sometimes, no, we need to just score an ugly basket here. And I think Jokic is the guy to do that, but he just hasn't figured out how yet. But in this third quarter, I thought the offense got really stagnant, really just bogged down, and guys, it took them out of their rhythm. That's why only 11 assists in that second half, because I thought they got out of it. Now, here's what I'll say. One thing I think Denver can improve on sort of as a team on the offensive end in these moments, you can't run when you're trying to protect yourself and you know, you don't want turnovers. Maybe you can't get, you know, 7-8 passes in a possession. It's hard to sort of force that type of thing. So if you want to slow it down and throw it into the post or try to isolate one guy for a shot, the one thing I will say is they need to come up with good actions that don't require the person with the ball. So what I mean is you need actions that get Jokic in the post but run very deliberate weak side and off-ball actions, not free flow. It could be scripted or whatever. It could even be hammer plays and things like this, but it just needs to be something where Jokic can, in my opinion, can feel like he can attack one-on-one without just four guys looking at him and just kind of standing there looking at him. So a little bit I think Denver can do to help. Gary Harris has been good in these moments off and on this year, but you know, just kind of knowing when it's okay, it's my time, I need to do something for the team. But Denver, I didn't think in that third quarter initially had it. They did call a timeout when the run got all the way down to 2. Milwaukee pulled within 2, and Monte checked in the game at that time. And Denver had a nice little offensive run after that. It got down to two, and then if you don't, Denver pushed it up, I think, to nine again. So it was 10, down to two, then up to nine, and you thought, okay, Denver weathered that. They bounced back. They had a little slip, but then they kind of rallied back to it. One of the plays that really killed them was there was an Ilyasova offensive rebound on a free throw where Jokic just, for whatever reason, didn't box out. It thought the ball would just go in no matter what. So what should have been a miss turns into another rebound and 2 points, and that was just an absolute killer, like a momentum killer, but also sort of a morale killer, because anytime a guy gets a bucket like that, it's, you know, it's so obviously one guy's fault, and it's one of those things where it's like, man, just do the easiest part of your job and you save a point there. So that one really hurt. I thought into the fourth quarter, Jokic started, and even in the third quarter, Jokic started settling for threes. And this is what I mean about Jokic in these moments needs to be more aggressive. I use that word deliberately, aggressive in this instance, but not at the three-point line. Not at, you know, he was, the team needed a bucket, and I think in his mind he had one where he shot fakes, Lopez bites on it, he takes a dribble left like he's going to go to the free throw line and pull up, but instead steps back to the three-point line and shoots just a really tough step back three. Those are the plays where I think he has to learn, the team needs me, but they need me in my spot. And if the team can't get me in my spot, then I need to make sure that somebody is on the court that can. And for some reason, he was trying to think to be aggressive in that moment, but the way he went about it, I think, was really, really bad. He also needs to get better at holding position on the block. And one of the reasons I think Jokic in these moments doesn't go inside is because, you know, they don't have great passers into the post, but he's also not great at holding position in there without fouling. And I think he gets nervous to sort of do that or to get pushed out too far. So for whatever it's worth, I think Jokic needs to get down there in those moments and understand that this is where he gets paid his max money. And maybe he's not great at it right away, but he needs to do it enough so that he's such a talented player that I know if he just focuses some energy on being that guy, he can become it, you know, within the course of a season. Murray then started to have some really bad turnovers. And here's where, you know, I think turnovers are probably reason number one Denver lost this game, but I don't think the turnovers came in the good parts of the offense. I think the turnovers actually came when the ball got stagnant, when the offense bogged down. In that third quarter alone, is when, I think there were six turnovers in there. Jamal Murray had three of them that were live ball, really egregious. He had one where he was trying to be aggressive and go to the rim, got stuck, didn't know where to go. And rather than just pivot out of it and keep his cool, he sort of like started falling down. Nobody touched him, but he just sort of like sped himself up so much that he was falling over and threw the ball. Giannis just kind of jumped and intercepted it. And you could see on Murray's expression on his face was just, my God, what am I doing? Is one of those ones. So the turnover started to snowball, but they snowballed in that quarter. And I don't think it was from like too much ball movement or player movement. It was from the opposite, the offense getting stagnant, but guys playing as if the game was still going fast. I actually think this is where Jokic gets most of his turnovers anyway, is he's a guy that is at his best when people are cutting and moving. And the more stagnant he gets, the more he's like trying to force those passes when they're not there because there was no movement. And that happened in this third quarter, not just from Jokic, but from Jamal as well. I thought Plumlee was good tonight. I thought Malik Beasley was really good. Both of those guys, the bench really was impressive in this one, but Plumlee in particular just was fired up for this game. You know, after the game, he gave a great interview. Altitude had it from the locker room where, you know, he talked about, you know, somebody said, how do you get out of the slump? And he kind of, he looked at him and said, you know, I actually don't think we're in a slump. You know, this is a good team we lost to, but I thought we played well tonight. And, you know, that perspective, it sucks. Look, there's the overall losing streak, five of the last six, I think is bad. This particular loss, I thought there was a lot of positives that just sort of came out of it. And that bench was one of them. Beasley, 4 of 7 from three. He had finished with 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. A couple of nice passes from him. He just continues to look like a guy that you don't have to worry about when he's out there. He did some good stuff. So, But Mason Plumlee, I thought, great effort and was flying around, made some big plays. That block on Giannis in the fourth quarter was huge. It was just those type of plays, and then he had another, like, I think it was a drop-off to Trey Lyles for an and-one, and he just had so much emotion, and I thought he was, like, the one guy on the team that sort of was carrying some confidence and some swagger in this game, as ironic as it is that it was him. But he did a great job. They checked out with, I think, 5 or 6 minutes left in the game. That second unit, starters came back in, and the game was tied. The bench did their job in this game to get Denver within striking distance, first to extend that lead and open things up in the second quarter, but then to get them back in this game when it looked like they might be falling out of it. So the bench did their job. They showed up. Gary Harris looks hurt to me. There was a play, and I know we've talked about the shoulder or hand or whatever. He is not cutting very often, and that often is a signal of either fatigue or, you know, possibly of an injury. And then when he does cut and attack the basket, he's playing below the rim, and he's finished a lot. You know, you think about Gary, he dunks on people. He can play with authority. I thought he looked he's just looked a little slow. And then there's one clip in particular where he's just like limping back down the court, and not like super noticeable, like he's trying to hurry, but if you look at it, he had a really weird walk to him, and just something's got to be wrong with him because he has not been himself. And even when he plays well, I mean, he's a tough dude to be fighting through whatever it is that he's going through, but he is just clearly so not 100%. End of game, I said Jokic's defense was good. There was a couple moments that were really bad, and one in particular that stood out late game. 1-5 pick and roll, Bledsoe's on ball. I think it's Brooke Lopez setting the screen. Yeah, it is definitely Brooke Lopez. And Jokic jumps to the wrong side, and I don't know. I thought it was obvious. Sometimes bigs are really good at sort of disguising which side they're going to set the pick and roll on in these spread pick and roll situations late in game. But this was an obvious one. The only other explanation I could have is that perhaps the call on the court was for Jamal Murray to try to force Bledsoe to go to his left. You can jump. You know, one way to cover the pick and roll is for a guy to so over the play one side that the guy is inclined to just go away from the screen, to ignore the screen. And it looked like Jokic was either misread the screen or was playing to that, because he jumped to the right side. Bledsoe gets across the screen to the right side and has a wide open three-pointer that put them up 6 points, and Denver was forced to call a timeout. So that was a big play, and it's a miscommunication or a misexecution by either Jamal or Nikola or both. After that, things looked really dire. Jokic came out of the timeout. They ran a play for him, and he attacked Brooke Lopez one-on-one and gets an and-one on him. A very aggressive play. And, you know, these are the types of things where I said growing pains. You know, I hope when Jokic watches – I hope Jokic watches the film of this game. I hope he's a guy that studies himself. But when he does, or if he does, or the coaching staff brings it to his attention, those are the type of moments they just need from him. These moments where he puts his head down and says, nothing's working, everybody's nervous, nobody seems to want to shoot, so I have to do something uncomfortable, which is go down and just attack the rim. And he did that. Denver really fought in this game. And I think, like I said, if they weren't on this extended losing streak, you'd look at this game and be proud of. If they were 9-1 coming into this game and then lost, you'd be like, man, this is a heck of a team. They really battled the Milwaukee Bucks on their court all the way down to the wire. But unfortunately, they're coming in having lost a 5 of 6, and things are just not looking good. Last thing I want to put on the show, you know, people talked about the value. I had people writing me in my mentions saying, you know, Will Barton's not needed. Look at how the team's 9-1 without him, all this or that. I think, first of all, I don't think too many people really felt that. Maybe after 6-1, they felt that. But this 7th, 8th, 9th win, you know, things got a little shaky there for a while. And I think people kind of saw that the offense was starting to bog down. But now that they're in this losing streak, you see guys start to question themselves who maybe you wouldn't even think beforehand. You know, Jokic and Gary Harris a little gun-shy. Jamal Murray even, I thought he's a super confident guy, but I think even he is a little bit lower on confidence than I've ever seen him. And Will Barton is just another one of those guys who is willing to take that shot. And I put this on Twitter. It's funny how the narrative has gone from, oh, Barton always ruins crunch time because he's trying to be a hero, to, man, the Nuggets really miss his willingness to take big shots. And that's the truth. There's some hot potato possessions where guys just look like they weren't ready for it. Well, but Will Barton's a guy who, as Tim Conley said on the Will Barton special that I did, that he loudly is not afraid to be that guy. He loudly does not defer to other players. And Denver just misses that. There's a fine line. There's definitely a balance between hero ball and like trusting your teammates. But Will Barton brings a certain energy and swagger that I think the team is lacking. That's it for today, guys. But before we get out of here, this is just a rough patch, I think, for Denver. They're still a good team. You look at their record, 10-7. Playtime's over. They had that nice start. One of the good things about having a nice start is you can afford a little slide like this. But now they are tied with New Orleans, tied with Houston, the Lakers in the loss column. It's going to be a dogfight, guys, and it's not getting any easier. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and visit us on the web at denverstiffs.com.